Well, tis the season. We're going to start looking at the birth of Jesus in a way that will set up our theme for next year. This year's theme, if you remember, was simply impact, impacting our world here inside these four walls, but then also outside of the four walls. Everything that we talked about, and even now, is about impact. Next year, we're going to talk about ordinary people of an extraordinary God. You're going to hear stories from the Bible of people that either have no names and did amazing things, or they have names, but like here in a little bit, you're going to hear names from the Old Testament. You're like, they did what now? Right? And it's incredible what ordinary people in the hands of an extraordinary God can do. And if they can do amazing things with him, then what's our problem? Right? By the way, the first weekend in March, we're having a guest speaker. Finally. But I'll be here. Daniel Ritchie is going to be here with us on that day. Deanna and I, this past summer, got to hear him speak in North Carolina. It was kind of random. And I said, you've got to come to Ohio. If you remember, I told you the story about him. He was a guy that was born not breathing and without arms. And the doctor said to his dad, we're not going to resuscitate him unless you tell us, but understand this, he will have a horrible life. He will not have any quality of life at all. And dad said, we are Christian believers. You bring him to life. And so you're going to meet Daniel. And if you remember, that's the guy that I tried to fist bump, a guy with no arms, right? So he's an amazingly ordinary guy that has done extraordinary things, and he's going to come and tell us about that. But man, if he can use Daniel, he can use us. We tend to look at any Bible story the same way, as if those people are greater than life. And the crazy thing is, I'm actually going to talk today about two people that are bigger than life. David, ever heard of that name in the Bible? And Abraham. Whoa, bigger than life. But I'm also going to tell you some stories today about people that are just like you and me. Just living life. And we tend to read those stories as if they're bigger than life, but they are so similar to you and me, and God chose them to do amazing things. Just like in today's story, as we kick off talking about Christmas and Jesus being born, the theme that we're going to run with this month is the worst Christmas ever. And the best way to prepare for the worst Christmas ever is to read a bunch of birth certificates to you. And that's what I'm going to do. Because all the stories of leading up to Jesus being born, everyone loves to skip Matthew chapter 1 because it's so-and-so was born to so-and-so, and so-and-so was born to so-and-so, and you know, okay. And I thought, what a great, boring sermon right after live nativity to talk about than the genealogy of Jesus. But I'm going to mention names to you that are going to blow your mind of how God worked through them, and we're going to see if we can add our names to the list. So open up your Bibles. Open up your Bibles to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 1, if you do not know where that is. It is about two-thirds of the way through your Bible, or you can tap that app and find it real quick. Very beginning verses, and we're not going to read all of them because it is incredibly boring. But I do want to point out some of the key things that these people had in common and see if we can have the same connection to that. So look at verse 1. We're going to talk about faith, that faith that connects all of us. Here's what Matthew records, very first words of his story of Jesus. This is the genealogy, boring, of Jesus the Messiah, not boring, the son of David, I've heard that name, and the son of Abraham. And when you look at this verse at first glance, you're thinking royalty and birthright and historic names. You see Jesus being called the Messiah. David, we know, is King David, the man who was after God's own heart. And God said that himself. And then Abraham, the father of faith. They have these amazing titles that we can't seem to connect with, except they have one thing in common, and it's their faith. Their faith connects them through generations. The question becomes, though, you think to yourself, man, I can't match their level of faith because I doubt. I didn't say they didn't doubt. I didn't say they didn't have moments of weakness. I didn't say they never got tired or wondered where God was when they needed him the most. I didn't say that at all. But they never lost faith. They always had faith. But man, sometimes they questioned it. Sometimes they were stressed or they were in pain. And we can relate to that. We often confuse doubt with lack of faith. And that's not the connection at all. We have faith. And sometimes we're stressed and we're tired and we've got this horrible self-identity, and so we begin to define faith as lack of. And man, when I see verse 1, if we are adopted by Jesus as believers, and Keith talked about that, then these guys are related to us too. This becomes our genealogy because God has adopted us into his family through Jesus. And Matthew wants to show right out of the gate, he wants to show Jewish people that Jesus was one of them, that Jesus was just like them, that there's a connection to him throughout history, and that we can be like him. And we are a part of a family of faith. So if you feel incredibly lost and alone during the holidays, because we talk about it all the time, right? It's about family and all that other stuff, and then we get together with our family, we realize we don't want to see them throughout the year except at holidays, right? But you can be adopted into a family of faith. If you have no one, there are people here that know that feeling, but they have thrown themselves into the family of faith. We're connected through faith, through the story of Jesus being born. Now, the second one I want to be careful of, and we're going to hit a couple different verses beginning in verse 3. There are people in this story of Jesus, the genealogy of Jesus, that others would look at and consider them failures. I do not want you to make the mistake of saying they are failures or that I'm saying they're failures, because some of them have gone through the very things that you have in your life. And you have become convinced that you're a failure, and then you come to church and you're being told that you're a failure. That is not what I'm saying. That's my disclaimer up front. Somebody's going to think that way, or maybe online later as they listen. That is not what I'm saying. But society and churches have the tendency to look at others and consider them failures where God does not. And I want you to see that. Let's begin in verse 3. And again, we're going to bounce. Okay, Judah, the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Now, it's very unusual for anybody back in that first century mode to list women in the genealogy. Well, that's just sexist. Of course it was. We know that. We understand that. We're not perpetuating that at all. It's just simply the truth. And the first woman that Matthew takes the risk to list in the story, a genealogy of Jesus, is a woman who was desperate to have a baby and was lied to by men like crazy early on in the Old Testament. And so finally she decided to take matters into her own hands, and she dressed as a prostitute and snuck into some dude's tent and had a baby. Woo! Let's lift that person on high, right? Not a smart decision at all. But man, she was desperate. And a lot of times, some of us make desperate choices because we think we don't have something that we need. and we do dumb choices because of it. And Matthew lists Tamar, this woman who dressed as a prostitute. All right, let's keep going. Speaking of prostitutes, is that salmon? That makes me hungry. The father of Boaz, the mother whose mother was Rahab. Did Rahab dress as a prostitute in the Old Testament? Sure did. Anybody know what her job title was? Prostitute. She was a prostitute. Okay. If you're trying to prove to me the royalty of somebody, you know, or if you're looking for famous people in my family, I'm not listing people like this because we tend to put these titles upon these people and list them as failures. They have no identity outside of giving birth. Let's keep going. Boaz, verse 5, the father of Obed, these are cool names, whose mother was Ruth, Gentile. She's the wrong race. And if you're trying to impress the Jews about who Jesus was, and you're listing somebody who's not, what? Right? That's not impressive. All right, let's skip down to verse 6, because here's my guy. And Jesse, the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon. And we find our fourth woman mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus. Look at the verse. What's her name, according to the verse? Are you kidding me? Really? You can't say her name? You can't say Bathsheba? We know the story, but even Matthew can't say her name. It's got to be Uriah's wife. Oh, some of you ladies love that, right? That your identity is through a dude. Hey, she cheated on her husband. Right? Okay. Each one of them, if we look at it from a certain dumb perspective, people would consider them failures. And their past kind of haunts them. And it just blows my mind that Bathsheba can't even be mentioned by name. And some of us know what it's like to be called names. As if our name, our birthright doesn't really matter. We're known for what we've done. Uriah's wife. That one bugs me. I don't know why it bugs me so much, but... If your past haunts you, God's got good news for you with the birth of Jesus. None of that matters anymore because he gives you a new name. He gives you a new birthright. You can be a Christian. You can be like him. You can be adopted into his family. All your past, all the mistakes, all the quote-unquote failures, none of that matters except that you can use your past to reach others like you and to tell them about how Jesus has changed your life. And I love that. Jesus will claim you like he claimed all these women. And your past, your hurt, your shame won't matter anymore. So let's look at verse 16 to get to the finally part. You were wanting me to read all those names. Not happening. Finally, verse 16, and Jacob, the father of Joseph, now we're getting to Christmas, the husband of Mary. And Mary was the mother of Jesus, who is called the Messiah. All my life I have said there are four women listed in the genealogy of Jesus, and I'm wrong. Not the first. There's a fifth woman. Anybody recognize that name, Mary? No? Why in the world list this in the genealogy? He's literally getting ready to tell the story of Mary and Joseph and the birth of Jesus. Why list it in 16? And it makes me wonder, does he want that connected to all those verses that came before? Literally the Old Testament in 16 verses. Boom, ba boom, ba boom, ba boom, ba boom, ba boom, ba boom. Every generation leading up to Jesus, including Mary and Joseph, because he wants us to know the entire Old Testament was given to us for one reason: the birth of Jesus. The entire Old Testament is all about Jesus. It literally leads right up to the birth of Jesus. And Matthew's smart. He knows the Jews cared desperately about the Old Testament. And he's bridging that gap. And he wants us to know that all those boring stories in the Old Testament lead to the birth of Jesus. It's finally here. For those of us who have grown up in the church and maybe a little fancier than we are, the Old Testament is literally the longest Advent calendar season ever. And now finally, it's time for him to show up. And when he shows up, you're going to see in the weeks to come, everything is a mess. Society's a mess. The government is a mess. We can't relate, right? They're under Roman rule. The church is a mess because they made all these rules that have nothing to do with the relationship to God. Everything is a mess. Sound familiar? Is there any hope? Is there any hope at all? As we're rushing around like crazy, worshiping the holiday of Christmas, is there any hope at all with this genealogy? And there is. One more verse, verse 17. Thus were 14 generations in all, from Abraham to David. I'm not doing math. 14 from David to the exile of Babylon. Now listen. And 14 from the exile. Does he stop the verse there? Because I'm telling you right now, if he stops the verse right there, I'm going, there's no hope. Because it feels like an exile, right? We as Christian believers, even living in America, we've got Christian believers around the world that are being persecuted like crazy. We know what it feels like to be aliens. We know what it feels like to be exiled. Hopeless. Except, he doesn't end the verse there. And 14 from the exile to what? The Messiah. Exile to the Messiah. All the pain, all the promise, all the hopelessness, and all the hope. All the Old Testament and its laws and its craziness to the baby who came down to be one of us so that we can be like him. Death to life. That's the story of the baby being born. From the exile to the Messiah. So we're going to wrap up this morning with a simple question. And I know what's going on with some of you. You feel hopeless. The mental war, the emotional war, the struggle, the pain. Even for those of us, like I have gone through the last couple of weeks, these physical conditions that reach up and grab a hold of us and just beat the living daylights out of us. And you're tired, and you're stressed, and you're worried. Our invitation time is for you to just come on up here, stand, kneel, do what you need to. Be surrounded by people that have been where you've been, but want you to know your exile, the hurt, the shame, the craziness can all be put into perspective by the Messiah. Let's stand together and sing our closing song this morning. And you come as the Spirit leads you.
Jesus Christ, our Savior.
need you this morning. Just as you sent your Son, you sent us your Spirit. The Counselor. I pray for those who have come forward this morning, God, for those who are still grabbing a hold of their chair and their heart's about to burst. Father, heal us. Allow us to see the hope in the darkness. Thank you that we're a part of your family, that this genealogy includes us. Thank you for hope. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.